A New Year's Eve sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 31, 1987, entitled, Two View of Life. The scripture readings are Ecclesiastes 3, verses 19 and 22, and Isaiah 46, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 13. The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 46, verses 4 and 10 through 11, and Ephesians 1, verse 10. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Isaiah 40 to 55 is one of the richest portions of all of Scripture, sometimes called the Gospel in the Old Testament. It begins, comfort ye my people, says your God. A voice cries in the wilderness, what shall I cry? That 40th chapter with which we're so familiar. And the affirmation there that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. And it concludes with the 55th chapter where the prophet says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth and return not thither, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater and so forth, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will accomplish its purpose. Prophet was a voice that broke the silence in Judah's exile experience and spoke of the God of salvation. And Judah desperately needed that word, for they had almost lost faith. Their hope was almost crushed. They were tempted to worship the gods of Babylon. After all, was not Babylon victorious? Were they not a slave people in this great, magnificent, ancient empire? Maybe Bel and maybe Nebo were gods after all. Maybe they were God. And so the prophet, with satire and humor, pictures Bel and Nebo, the gods of Babylon, in procession. On New Year's Day in Babylon, they processed their gods on beasts of burden. Probably a demonstration much like happens on May Day in Red Square when all of the great artillery are paraded for the public to see the might of the Soviet power. So in Babylon on New Year's Day, the gods were paraded out. But now Persia was moving in and Babylon was in trouble. And they were running for their lives, and they ran for their lives with their gods. They loaded their gods on the beasts of burden, so the gods were hanging over the rear ends of the beasts of burden, taking in all the dust as they made their way out of the city. And the prophet says, aha, your gods are a burden to you. You're trying to bear your gods. And then we have that marvelous statement from the Lord, a load on me from your birth, carried by me from the womb. Till you grow old, I am he. And when white hairs come, I will carry you still. I have made you and I will bear the burden. I will carry you, I will save. And the contrast in that imagery is brilliant. The Babylonians scurrying around, hustling their gods on beasts of burdens in order to rescue their gods, and God laughing in heaven and saying, you don't have to bear me. I will bear you. I will carry, I will save. And then those strong words toward the end of the chapter, I reveal the end from the beginning. From ancient times I reveal what is to be. I say my purpose will take effect. I will accomplish all that I please. Not all believe that. The agnostic of Ecclesiastes has become, in many cases, the intellectual atheist of the 20th century. The French scholar André Malraux says the universe is indifferent. Who created it? Why are we here in this puny mud heap spinning in infinite space? I have not the slightest idea, and I am quite convinced that no one has the least idea. And I could go on with statements like that. I don't want to stand before you this evening and claim that unbelief has no reason on its side, or that clear thinking will simply arrive at the posture of faith. The posture of faith is precisely that. It's an attitude of trust. The writer to the Ecclesiastes was as acute an observer of human experience as you'll find. And for him, it ended as a toss-up. The prophet, as the spokesman for the eternal God, states the perspective of faith, pointing to a God who has a plan and a purpose, and who will execute the same. That's the posture of faith. We don't observe human experience and come to faith. We bring faith to human experience. Coming with some kind of neutral posture over against the variety of our human experience can only end us in confusion, paralyze us with fear, or bind us into cynicism and despair. No, we bring our faith to history. We hear the word of God, the word of the redeeming God. He says, I have a plan, I have a purpose, and I am working my purposes out. And so we have that statement of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 10. The secret was a purpose which he formed in his own mind before time began, so that the periods of time should be controlled and administered until they reached their full development, in which all things in heaven and on earth are gathered into one in Jesus Christ. We are a people who believe that there is a purpose, that is the purpose of a good and gracious God who is moving through all of the events and the affairs of human experience and in our lives, so that in the end there will be meaning, beauty, salvation, peace, satisfaction. We are a people who simply believe, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, in the God who is working his purposes out. I have a plan, I have a purpose, and I will bring it to pass. And we're always faced with a decision of faith. To turn away from that is to turn to darkness and despair. To allow oneself to be caught up with that is to find the energy and the vitality to move into life with expectation, on tiptoe, waiting to see the next move. and the purposes and the plan of the gracious God revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ. I commend to you, as this year ends and we move into a new year, the perspective of faith, the God who says, I will carry. I have made you. I will save. Thanks be to God.